The Feast of the Holy Family is a beautiful time to meditate on our own families, our own vocations, and receive grace from God and wisdom and guidance, and just to reflect on how the Lord is present and at work in whatever our family situation might be, the family we have, the family we come from. And so, thinking about my own family story, I want to share that with you briefly. The family situation I came from was kind of a mixed up one. It was a little messy. My dad had been previously married and divorced and needed an annulment, and instead my parents were civilly married when they were married. And they also didn't think that they'd be able to have kids. And so kind of an inauspicious start to things. And they did have me, so okay, not too bad. But, you know, I myself, when I got to high school and was going to be confirmed, I rejected confirmation. Said, I don't believe it, I'm not doing it, and really fell away from the practice of the faith for an extended length of time. And so our family situation was really a big mess. And by the way, I cleared this with my mom before I reached this, and she's like, oh, it's okay, I tell everybody about this. Because that's not the end of the story. You see, God was faithful and good to us and merciful. And he gave us wonderful graces of repentance and graces of conversion and graces of perseverance and the grace of the help of the church in my family's and my own situation. In the end, my dad did pursue an annulment, and that then allowed him and my parents to be able to have their marriage blessed and to have their union elevated to that reality of a sacrament. My dad, you know, nearly 30 years into their marriage, he actually himself became Catholic. And then I had a very major conversion at the very end of college. And when we had all of that happen and when God guided us into all those things, it was amazing how kind of united as a family in faith, you know, how much our faith grew, how much our joy deepened as we had that incredible gift of conversion and all the graces God had given us. And so every family has its own story. And also every family belongs to also a bigger story as well, the story of being a part of the family of God. Our readings today, our first and second readings, point us to one of those kind of key biblical families, the family of Abraham and Sarah with their son Isaac. They're an interesting family because there was this covenant that God had formed with them, this exchange of promises and fidelity to that he would be their God and that they would be kind of his servants, they would be his family, you know, and there are promises that God gave to them that indeed they would have many descendants, as we heard about in our first reading, and that all families would eventually end up being blessed through Abraham. But that wasn't the end of the story. Their family had many, many different trials. There was marital strife between Abraham and Sarah. There was an issue of infertility that we heard about in our readings. They had to migrate to one land, and then a famine came to that land of promise. They had to migrate onto Egypt and had all kinds of problems there. And then there's also some of the demands that God, their covenant partner, made of them that were very, very difficult. And so their family situation was not just some tidy thing. There's all kinds of messiness and challenge and trials in the midst of it. Nevertheless, as it says in our second reading, letter to the Hebrews from the New Testament that kind of meditates back on that family, they persevered through it all by faith. And with that faith, God's plan of drawing humanity back to himself into the family of God continued and through expanding covenants, starting with Abraham and then a covenant with Moses, you know, with the tribes of Israel under Moses and within the King David, these covenants expanding and drawing more and more of humanity back to God. But each of those, Abraham and Moses and David, all had messy lives and family drama and trials aplenty. If you want a good book, a very readable book that kind of describes this, really this family story with God, there's a great book by Scott Hahn, A Father Who Keeps His Promises. And I highly recommend reading that. Then we come to our gospel, to the Holy Family of Joseph and Mary and Jesus. And of course, they're a pivotal family in God's great plan of salvation. Mary and Joseph are really the fruit of all that covenant work that God had been doing through all those generations, really all those generations of having walked with God very imperfectly. All those generations kind of culminate then in Mary and Joseph, who can then receive the gift of Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, who becomes their son. Mary and Joseph, they also are drawn beautifully into God's plan by faith. As Elizabeth praised Mary, "Blessed are you who believed in all that the Lord promised you." In the gospel today, we have this presentation of the Christ child, the infant Jesus, taking him to the Lord in the temple according to that law of Moses. And it's a time on one side of wonder, of joy. Anna and Simeon, you know, speaking about who this child is. But they also hear from Simeon that Jesus will be a sign that will be contradicted as his life and as his ministry reveals the hearts of people. Some will resist him, and indeed, in the end, resist him violently. And Simeon also prophesies that Mary, she herself, a sword will pierce her of sorrow. And so, yes, a holy family, a faithful family, but another family like Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, another family beset with trials. Joseph had originally thought to quietly divorce Mary when she is found with children, with a child. Jesus, his birth happens in the poverty of an animal pen. You know, we can think about it in kind of romantic terms, but what a filthy, miserable way to come into the world. They had to flee a murderous manhunt and live as refugees in another country. Joseph, well, by the time we get to Jesus' adult life, Joseph is already dead and gone. Nevertheless, with deep trust in God, Joseph and Mary, they remained faithful to their family mission that God had given them, to be that family of Jesus, where he could, as it says in the gospel, grow in wisdom and in strength, so that this Jesus, the Son of God and Son of Mary, could establish now that new, that ultimate, that everlasting covenant that God the Father had wanted to establish from the beginning, that he could then draw all of humanity back to himself. So this then, after the family of Abraham and the holy family we have now, this brings us to our families, who are very much a part of God's continuing plan here and now. Like before, I think there are those same kind of big elements are at play. There's the reality we are in covenant with the Lord. There's this reality of covenant. There's the reality of trial and just messiness in our existence and in our human lives. And then there's that call to nevertheless live it all by faith. Let me just unpack those three elements that are there for those families of the Bible, the family of Jesus, and our family. I think it's so important for us to keep that bigger vision of God's covenant plan and that we indeed are a part of that, individually and as families. And understand that, you know, we have a family mission to raise up children who are, as they're described in the Gospels, as children of light, children who can call upon God as Father in the midst of the church, children who know and follow and love Jesus Christ and know his great and sacrificial love for them, children who want to live by things like the Beatitudes. Blessed are the peacemakers, the pure of heart, the merciful, who are captured by that vision and love that and want to be children of light. And another part of covenant is also that our families are where we foster vocations. You know, in all vocations, marriage, single, some kind of consecrated life, they all are meant not just simply for themselves, but to serve God's kingdom and his saving plans. And understand that that's what we are trying to do with our children. So often it's, well, what do you want to do when you grow up? Okay, and that can be a great question, but, you know, there's another key question. What does God want you to do when you grow up? And then another final part of this covenant element of our Christian family life is that covenant calls for fidelity. And really, as a family, we want to be faithful to the Lord. And that matters. And that's a criterion for our lives. At one point, when Israel had been guided by Moses so far along, but then now finally the leadership had passed to Joshua and they're going to enter the land of promise after so many years, Joshua leads them in renewing their covenant with the Lord and renewing their fidelity to the Lord. And he challenges them, really choose. And then he says this, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And I think that must be a motto for all of our families and for each of our lives. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And so Christian families have a lively sense of fidelity to the Lord and living in covenant with him. And then there's that second big element. You know, our families have their own trials. They have their own messiness, as I divulged about my own family, that reality, but also there's the good news that God is not afraid of that. God is not repelled by that. He's an expert at dealing with human messiness. We have thousands of years of history of how he has done that. And so for us to both acknowledge that reality and then trust in God being at work, there's external trials that can come upon our families, or unemployment and societal situations. There's internal trials, just the rub of humanity and maybe other job loss, things like that. There's also then that reality of sin and that need for conversion in each of our lives. But then with that healthy awareness that yes, families as well as members of the families, we're all a work in progress. You know, and we all depend radically upon grace. And we can trust that God will provide. As St. Paul says, where sin increased, grace overflowed all the more. And then I think one other part of trials and messiness can be, I think for us in our society, the paradoxical snare of affluence, of the world's distractions, that we have in our affluence the capacity to choose many different things, to pursue many different interests, to rely upon and have a great amount of autonomy and felt security in our lives because of that. But affluence can also be a burden. Remember what Jesus said about the wealthy. Easier for a camel to pass through an eye of the needle than the wealthy to pass through the kingdom of God, pass into the kingdom of God. And so we must be aware of where our affluence, which is extreme compared to human history, where that can lead us astray. In the realm of family life, I think one area that I think becomes very evident from my perspective is sports. You know what? Sports can be great. They can be fun. This week with my companion priests, one day we played flag football, and I had this amazing over-the-shoulder, you know, finger catch, 40-yard pass, touchdown from Father Brian Larkin to me. Amazing. And I'll brag about that until the day I die to all my companion brothers. And, you know, so sports can be fun, not dishing on sports, but sports can become idols, where they trump the more important things of our family life. They trump and overrun our religious commitment, our covenant living with the God. And so we need to be aware of where sports are making too big a claim upon our lives or other kinds of activities. Again and again, you know, you hear about families who can't make things because of sports and other activities. And then again and again, I hear from parents 30 years down the road, their kids aren't living or in the faith. Connect the dots. Connect the dots. And so we need to be aware of that and resist the idolatry of sports in our country. Another area where affluence can lead us astray is just the reality of career. That career is not an end in itself, but it's meant to serve deeper human values and the flourishing of family and really the care and provision for others. And so we can't let career just kind of dominate, whether that's the career of our parents or whether that's how we just prepare our kids to just have a mindset of what only matters is what they're going to do and not fundamentally in Christ who they are. As Jesus says, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? And then that brings us to that third and final element, along with covenant, and then that messiness and trials that are just there in family life. That third element is how important to live by faith, to really live by faith. That's so important. And faith is manifested in our lives by our choices, by what we choose to do and not do. And faith is meant to be not just kind of my Sunday thing, but it's meant to be there across all the dimensions of my life. Not sectioned off, but a leaven, as Jesus would say, a light, as Jesus would say, across all of my family existence. Sometimes faith will make us look different, and that's okay. You know, if we just want to be like everybody else, and we're not really living truly to our faith. And sometimes the radical call that the Lord makes in our lives as well. And that's also, I think, kids are under a lot of pressure, of course, you know, to be like the rest, to conform, you know. And there's that old saying, take a good look at your friends, because that's who you're becoming. Families need to be able to help kids be strong in their identity as Christians, even as they, with great charity and love, engage all the people around them in the world. You know, this is not to like segregate ourselves off, but neither is it to be just overrun by the ways of the world. And then, so important for us to realize, faith doesn't mean that then we're shielded from troubles. Faith doesn't shield us from troubles. We see that with the Holy Family. We see that with Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. Faith doesn't shield us from trials, but it's what helps us to get through them. And it's indeed living true to our faith in the midst of trials that really that's where our faith is proven. What role faith, you know, a sunny afternoon in a park? What role faith when things are really hard and challenging? The letter to the Hebrews has this beautiful line. Hebrews is what we had for our second reading about faith. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith gives us access to something greater than ourselves, that this substance, which is the grace and the goodness of God. And so as we live by faith, we start to taste that. And even as we come to trials, and especially in them, we have access to someone greater than ourselves. We don't need to respond just out of our own resources, our own human capabilities. But faith allows us to have access to that one who is always with us, the Lord. And faith allows us to taste his goodness already, even if the fullness of that goodness is only something that comes at the resurrection. So my brothers and sisters, this reality of living by covenant, of yes, families are messy, they have trials. The Lord isn't afraid of that or repelled by that, but is with us in that. But we must be, even as we're encouraged, also vigilant. And then finally, how important to live by faith. My family story certainly includes all of these elements. You know, in our very imperfect family, very perfectly loved by God. And I can attest wholeheartedly to the Lord's goodness and mercy and his undiminished love for us. At the end of this year, I think it would be a good time to first look back. Consider how God has been at work in your individual life and the life of your family, to consider those graces, those blessings of your covenant partner, of God. And then also look forward to the next year. What is the step forward in faith that your family can take? Whatever your family situation, your individual life situation, may the Holy Family truly intercede for you, and may the Lord's love renew you.